Welcome to the latest edition of GAFBO Radio. This past November, November 12th to be precise, GAFBO attended Beard Team Ohio's Beards of Science event. In Columbus, Ohio, and we sat down, actually a number of us from GAFBO, myself, Ian, John, and Kyle all sat down with Mr. Brandon Biggins of the Philadelphia Beard and Mustache Club, as well as Alex and Miletus from the Austin Facial Hair Club, and we thought rather than us talk too much and bore your asses off, we'd play you a little bit of our interview with those guys.
Well, welcome back to GAFBO Radio. John and I are sitting here with Miletus and Alex from the Austin Facial Hair Club, as well as the president of the Philadelphia.
I'm very important.
Facial Hair Club. Yeah. You got the president right there written on your shirt.
Right here on the hoodie.
I'm not gonna.
Philly Beard Mustache Club.
I do not want to downplay that.
He just doesn't stop with the hoodie.
Ow, it's my hand. I got the t-shirt.
He's
got the t-shirt too.
Oh, nice. He's it's doubling up
and then
right
if
there.
If you take the t-shirt off, it's tattooed on his chest.
We don't
now, did you appoint yourself?
For life.
Did you appoint yourself president or were you actually elected?
I was actually elected. I was surprised, but I was elected, yeah.
Okay, so it's not like you were just like, hey, fuck it, I'm a dictator for life, but I'm going to call myself a president so people like me.
Yeah, no. No, actually, it was unanimous. They were like, you're president because we don't know what we're doing.
We don't want to fucking fuck this up.
That's usually how presidents actually get elected. I've noticed that Austin Facial Hair Club president was elected that way.
Speaking of the Austin Facial Hair Club president, Brian Nelson, I hear he's a bit of a prima donna, Alex. Is that the case?
No.
Nice,
not.
Alex.
I don't know. You were just telling me about it.
He's not with us today because his band Gorge Fock is opening up for the Melvins at the Three Floyds Brewery near Chicago. So
A good brewery. They make some excellent beers. So.
Yeah, fantastic.
His set gets done at 6, but that's like a 4-hour drive, so I don't think he's going to make it.
Well, you know, Ohio actually, about an hour north here of Columbus, there's a Stargate. So if he can find one in Chicago, he could pop right on over.
You guys actually have a Stargate?
We're not from Ohio, thank God.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
They're not from Texas, though. So,
they're not from Texas, no.
The van we drove here, however,
is
from
Texas. So.
It's got Texas plates on it.
Sweet. That's kind of
all over.
A little bit.
It's around.
Our van is kind of a slut.
Yeah.
Yeah. He should jump in the Stargate and have a good time.
Check out the tailpipe on it,
though. Where's the Stargate at?
It's on the way to Cleveland from here. It's just on the side of the road. Neil Moorman knows where it's at. We're gonna.
Is that how he got here?
I guess. I don't know. We're gonna try to find it tomorrow. And,
that's kind
of
sweet.
We're going to walk through the Stargate. We're all going to... Actually, Bizarro over there, the other Kate, she's agreed to be our Kurt Russell and go through the Stargate first.
Sweet.
Fantastic.
So, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about the Austin Facial Hair Club?
And then
how'd you guys get started? What do you do?
Brian started it with... I mean, was it you and Brian? It was like Corey?
Well, so we... 6 years ago, this will be the sixth year.
Yeah, this will be the sixth year.
Our friends who did a magazine called Misprint Magazine put on a beard contest, had like a ZZ Top cover band play, and it was like
a celebration.
Hilarious. It was it's a rock show. I mean, it's like party. And so they've been doing it every year since around the same time. And we, at some point, it's really kind of fuzzy how it came how it came up, but I know Brian Nelson silkscreened some t-shirts. Brian Nelson, Alan Demling, a dude named Corey Plump, Brett Nutting.
Was involved.
And Moody like helped out like in the first 4 or 5 dudes. I was living in California at the time, so what happened is we started doing these beard contests and had a super fun time, and then we like looked on the internet and there's people that do it around the world. So we're like, oh, cool, let's go to this Alaska thing.
Yeah.
So I was moving from California back to Austin like 5 days after I got back from Alaska. But I went as like, you know, Austin Facial Hair Club or whatever. And Beard Team USA, I have a pin. I signed up a long time ago. So so that's how we all started. And then when really we got super into it, I mean, we did parties and, like, guest bartending and stuff, but we got super into it about a little over a year, actually it was about a year and a half ago, where we were like, hey, we want to get everybody to Norway.
Well, that was, like, that was nationals. really was Nationals that kind of kicked everything off.
Well, yeah, after Nationals,
it was when it was Nationals that catalyzed more of the serious aspect of it.
Okay.
Because we had so much fun. And, I mean, you were there.
Yep.
Nationals was such a blast.
It was wild. It was,
I mean, the town, Ben just celebrating us for like 3 or 4 days. We took a Winnebago from California to from San Francisco to Bend, Oregon.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
And, you know, that...
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm making a lot of noise, so you might have to repeat it.
But the crazy...
No one wants to hear my leaders anyway.
Yeah. The
always end on a fart joke, that's ladies that, and gentlemen.
That, yeah, the...
Can't go wrong.
Or dick jokes.
Yeah.
Remember, big, fat, veiny dick jokes. Everyone loves those.
Nothing wrong with some dick and fart jokes.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, Bend was like such a celebration, we decided right then and there... we wanted to go to Norway.
Yeah, we're like, look, we're going to do the Norway. We know it's super expensive. Back then, you know, the captain was telling people, oh, Norway's going to suck. It's too expensive. No one's going to have fun. So we're like, cool, we're going then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so we sat down and we created an LLC so we could raise money and, like, pay taxes and do everything right. You know, sales tax and stuff like that. We created LLC last year, and we started, you know, doing events and trying to raise money and that kind of stuff. We are not a nonprofit group. We do stuff to make money so we can pay for people to fly.
But it's not as if you're in this to make money.
No, it's all
you're not
about
doing this for profit, but you are not a nonprofit.
The thing was when we looked into it, and I think I talked about with y'all briefly last night, was that to pull off a nonprofit cost a shit ton of money, first off, because the government wants taxes.
Yep.
And if you're telling them that you don't want to pay taxes, they want you to prove it as best possible, the reason why you shouldn't be paying them taxes. And then the second thing was, is our lawyer, because we had a really close buddy of ours who had just became, like, he just graduated as a tax lawyer, so he did all this for us for, like, free. And, basically, his thing was like, if we created the group and we did it as a nonprofit, any money that we generated could not be actually spent on members of the group. You have to spend the money on other things because there's some kind of weird, even though you're buying tickets and flying the team and no one's getting a salary or money put in a 401k, you're still spending money. It's not a nonprofit at that. You are buying stuff for yourself in essence.
Right.
So the LLC was created just because also we didn't want to have someone with like $3,000 in their house.
That's a good point because we're at GAFPO, we're looking into doing the same thing, becoming a nonprofit or LLC. So it's good to have that information.
And
we don't like having all the money from after a competition before putting it in the bank and joining it, you know, having a couple grand. You're
and
just
then
like,
you got the transparency right there where everyone can look at it. And with the LLC, when we designed our charter, the big thing was that we wrote into it that we would only support local businesses with our money. So, like, all our shirts are printed up by this guy, Steve Hunt, our Don't Pay. We try to use only local sponsors to help us out with our events and do it at local businesses. You know, I mean, we do get some stuff like Dos Equis kicks us some beer, but that's because it's our friend Danielle Thomas, who is a PR. It's like, it all stays within the community.
Local Austin specific or Texas?
It's pretty much Austin based, really.
Just our social network is just mostly Austin. Free beer is free beer. So if it comes comes from Houston, fine. If it comes from, you know, I mean, Dos Equis is, like, for example, is like not, I mean, it's not ideal. We'd rather have a local Austin brewery do stuff, but they're all super busy making beer for people to pay them, and they can't, like, right now they can't give us free stuff. So, but we do use the local,
PR tequila
person. So.
Go on.
I was just saying, as a beer nerd, what's sort of the local beer scene like in Austin?
It's pretty decent.
Good breweries?
There's a really good one that just opened up that we really would like to work with. It's called Austin Beer Works.
They have some great art. The cans are beautiful.
Oh, God.
The beer's great. There's Jester King Brewery we've done stuff with. We did a little beer contest at one of their grand openings.
Yeah.
There's Austin Beer Works. There's Live Oak. Real Ale is out of Blanco.
Uh-huh. Austin Independence.
The Independence. St. Arnold's is out of Houston.
But they helped us with Beard Pearl.
Yeah, they helped us out.
North by Northwest has helped us a couple of times with, like, the Duck Adventures.
Yeah, it's like a brew pub in town. There's the beer as in the liquid. Like there's a huge scene in Austin.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's we'll get to some of that more in the future, I guess, when we meet up with you, because we want to. I want to say, we're gonna have to show you what real beer is, because the state of Michigan is known for beer, and they have two of the top five breweries in the world and all that stuff. So you guys have to come up here.
Well, yeah, and something like around 200 breweries in the state of all different sizes. That's a staggering amount of beer being made in one state, and but, so much of it's fantastic.
Yeah, but I also want to, before we keep going on, welcome to our Sergeant at Arms of Gaffbo, Mr. Kyle Mustin.
Yeah. I saw him working out this morning.
Yeah,
he's pumping iron.
He was telling us earlier you were looking pretty rough this morning.
Yeah, the sauna. But then I also want to get over to Philly so we can cover some of how that club started. Absolutely. So, Mr. Biggins, would you please let us know how the Philly Beard Mustache Club started?
Yeah, we started about 2 years ago, but just like these guys, when Nationals last year is when we really started getting the ball rolling.
Okay.
And like really getting serious with it. And, you know, we had started the club about 2 years ago, and then there was Nationals, and then we were just like, we really got to kick this into high gear and like really get going with it and do something with it other than saying we have a beard club, you know.
Right, right.
So, We started, you know.
Make it so your mom can't hate you for having a giant beard.
No. My mom loves my beard. It's weird. It's
you lucky son of a bitch. Apologies to your mom.
No, yeah, she's a bitch, but, you know, she's she's my mom, so I love the bitch.
Right.
But
I can say it. It's okay. It's my mom.
Okay. It's my mom, dude. You can't say it.
You can't say it.
So we started, So we started having meetings, and every month we've been getting a bigger and bigger response. People have really been coming out, and after the Nationals this year, we had our biggest meeting yet. We had like 50 people show up. We just wrapped up last weekend shooting a Beards and Babes calendar. Philly Beard Mustache Club Beards and Babes calendar. It'll be available on the 27th.
All right.
We're going to do some pre-orders.
Random plug.
You know, we'll do pre-orders online.
We have a calendar.
Get us the information. We'll promote that.
We have a calendar in the work, too, for Gaffbo, but it's just, it's going to, you know, January will be the baby of the new year, and February is Cupid, March, St. Patrick's Day. But they're all going to be Sergeant at Arms, Kyle in a diaper.
That's
so
awesome.
He didn't know that, but now he does.
Like, I was Santa, and we had a naughty elf. And you know, for New Year, for January, we had Vic, who's here for the competition this weekend. He was Father Time, and we had just a party girl as like a New Year's party girl with him. It was fun. It was just a whole weekend of just shooting and just drinking.
All right.
It was fantastic.
I know Austin travels really well together as a group, and you guys make a big point of that. And then that's where we're trying to go with Gaffbo. This is our biggest outing as a group. Mm-hmm. And you say you've got a few more with you. How many you got here, Brandon?
This weekend we've only got, it's me and me and Vic are here, but Anthony Francolito kind of jumps back and forth between his Jersey club and the Philly Beard club. He's right on the border of Philly and Jersey, so.
He should just stay with Philly, because
not in New Jersey, And, you know, we make fun of him for being from Jersey all the time, because, you know, he sucks, but.
It's okay. We do that with Ohio.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Because Ohio sucks.
Ohio sucks. You can quote that.
Wow, so much animosity.
Especially Thomas.
State. Yeah, this is
so much animosity towards the Buckeye State.
We spend a lot of time in Ohio for hating it so much.
You have family in Ohio.
I have family all over the world though. But you know what? They're in the cool part of Ohio. It's out by in the Allegheny Mountains, right by Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they're in the tri-state area.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're not really in Ohio so much as they're in technically Ohio.
They're like mountain people.
Is that Cleveland? Is Cleveland a cool town?
I don't mind Cleveland. It's
Cleveland
not an amazing town, but it's pretty cool
things.
Yeah, it had a river there that was on fire for 7 days.
Right, Lake Erie, really. I mean, Ohio knows how to take care of the Great Lakes.
Knows how to set water on fire.
Yeah, they found a way to make water flammable.
Wow. The only state that has made water flammable. It burned for 7 days.
Jeez. Yeah.
To the point that the Great Lakes Brewing Company in Cleveland, Ohio, named a beer Burning River.
No shit?
Yeah,
yep. Come
on. It's not a very good beer.
It's probably made from the Cuyahoga.
All right. We got a few more questions, I think. We want to...
While we've been talking about Austin, you guys recently joined the World Beard Mustache Association as an independent club.
Yeah, correct.
What's the process like that, and what kind of benefits do you get? Because this is something that I guess not everybody, even here in the States, really understands what goes on with that.
It's actually kind of... Should we give them the real story? Or should we still polish it a little bit?
Give us the real story. The internet is nothing if not factual.
Okay.
real story is we paid somebody a lot of money to... No.
Basically, this... It's more disorganized than us.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just saying the whole, like, beard community here. Really, it is. It's a federation, a loose federation of clubs that get together every 2 years, and they have a meeting, and they talk, and then they decide where the other one's going to be.
Right.
So when we went up there, we were thinking, you know, we had all our bylaws written out. We had, like, our speech and our plan and all this stuff.
Yeah, I saw your presentation that you made.
Yeah, so we did all this stuff, and we're standing there, and there's these two dipshits from Portland that are whacked out on ecstasy that decided that they were going to, like, become part of the WBMA. And they're also deciding they get recognized. And then once we all got recognized, we had a vote about where we were going to try to throw the next, in 2015, World Beer. And this is something we had contemplated, that if we got in the WBMA, we wanted to propose Texas. So we had this speech, and Brian did it, and it was very eloquent. And, you know, we looked not like a bunch of weirdos. And these two guys...
No small feat for you guys.
No, these two guys tried to do a PowerPoint presentation that wound up them describing images on their MacBook Pro. Like, shit like, okay, and here's a bumper sticker on a Portland police cruiser. It says, keep Portland hairy. And this is a double-decker bus. We could use it for some kind of event. And, like, everyone in the crowd is just like, you know, because most of them don't speak English, first of all.
Right,
like,
right.
These kids are just like,
And a lot of the ones that do speak English probably aren't, like, that fluent in stoner.
Yeah.
You know? These kids weren't Stumptown dudes.
They weren't Stumptown. They weren't just in case. They were two random kids from Portland that decided to start a group that night.
Anyway, so the process to get in the WBMA is you have to apply for it. You have to get a sponsoring club to say these guys are legit.
Who's your sponsoring club?
Alaska.
South Central Alaska. And,
Dave Traver.
Yeah.
And you got to write some bylaws up, and they let you pick and choose. They're like, you have to choose from these 10 things, like, what 3 things you want. Like, dues? And we're like, no dues, or what, you know, they're whatever. So we did that.
And then we have to publish it on our website or somewhere where people can refer.
Yeah, and then they vote you in. Like,
so there's a checklist, and you have to do 3 of 10 things in order to...
I don't remember the exact number, but there's a bunch of things, and you only had to pick a couple.
Premier crunchy peanut butter, and if you choose the wrong one, you're out.
It's more like they want to make sure that, like... So the thing is, because, like, everyone has the opportunity to host something, they want to make sure that you're an actual organization, that you've done some events... people can refer to you and see your history and stuff like that, and you've had the legitimate backing of
another club
that
club,
has
right?
done that stuff. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, so like if GABFA wanted to do it or Philly wanted to do it, I mean, basically it wouldn't be hard for you. That's why we were saying we thought it was going to be this crazy process, but it was actually very easy to get into.
Okay. It's more of like a symbolic thing.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to, I guess, get everyone to communicate from around the world. Or,
well, that's
I mean,
the
granted,
other
most
thing
of
that we have
Europe.
Learned.
Yeah.
And these guys have no understanding of the internet.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous.
The webpage is straight out of 1997. Like, I mean,
it hasn't been updated in ages, right?
Well, I think they put our name on there, I think. But, like, there's not that many people in the WBMA.
No.
And there's a whole crazy old history that's probably, like, worthy of its own show of, like, how this all happened. But it's just, like... So we got in it because we wanted to try to offer to host. And we created, like, a...
Website.
15-page, proposal. And we got translated into German... And we put it. We had a website, and we submitted it. And the teams that voted for the
Austrian team. This was an email.
Yeah, they were just like, "Hey, we want to do it," and it was like a one-liner.
What the fuck?
Well, I mean,
on the one hand, this is probably a club that they all know. They have like an established relationship with these guys, so there's something to be said for going with, you know,
well, the,
your
the
old
factor,
friends versus
the,
your
the,
new
the,
ones.
The, well, and there's not only that, but what everyone's forgetting is, like, we are the young blood.
Oh,
these
yeah.
people are all in their 60s.
Yep, exactly.
They're retired. The concept of traveling. I mean, when we flew to Norway, I mean, I was like, wow, I'd never flown international before. I was like, it zaps you, man, that first couple of days.
Yep.
You know, so you're in your 60s. You're going to a place where you don't really have a lot of connections. as you get older, those kind of concepts, you know, oh, I can just drive
it's a bigger
from
hassle.
Germany to, yeah, to Austria. You know, I can speak the language in there. There's more of a comfort zone there, especially if you're older, you know. But I don't think it's like they're necessarily opposed to these ideas, because we had a real hardcore interest.
I wasn't saying that at all. I'm just saying, like, when it comes down to it, here are these guys who have just joined.
Yeah.
And maybe they want to go, well, we'll talk about it for the one after that.
Let's see.
That's fine.
And in the meantime, they're going to go, well, these guys we know. We know how their events go.
Portland's proposal did not make Americans look good, so.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Well, good things you guys are from Texas.
Yeah. I totally respect that everybody in this organization, who have all been following the same rules, all voted for what they voted for. And, you know, it's not, what I say in an email, it's not playground fair.
Yeah.
But it's fair. I mean, we submitted our thing. They actually gave us a little extension to, like, get our proposal done.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they made a little bit of a thing to help us, you know, propose it. And the other teams chose the other place. So, anyway, so whatever. I mean, you know, will we submit something for 2017? Who knows? I mean, that's, you know, it'll be in 2013 when we propose something for 2017. And that's like,
Jesus Christ.
5 year, you know, yeah, like, how old are we going to be?
Six year. We'll be 40.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, the thing is I'm more stoked about the alliance and what we can do here in the United States. And if those folks want to come and party with us, that's fine.
Please. But, we'd love to have them.
I think that's you, we're all on the same page of that. Mm-hmm. We would like to see it more of an international thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And that means the inclusion of not just Europe and America, but hopefully in a broader sense, like, you know, Asia, South America,
Australia.
Australia. I know there's some New Zealand. There was the New Zealand guy, you know.
I missed out on the New Zealand guy. There's a few that I've been chatting with online. Yeah. We did an interview with him, and he wasn't part of that group. He was just a different New Zealand guy.
Yeah. And the thing is, this isn't talking down about nationals. Nationals does not try to do anything where it invites. It says it invites people, but it doesn't create like an app. You've got to find them. You know what I mean? It's not like they're out openly doing diplomacy and stuff. Like, we're all coming to each other's local regional competitions and creating a network. And then why not expand the network? And it's the same thing, I think, that happened over in Europe, which then eventually led to the WBMA.
Yeah. So, I think with the alliance, we're just going to start simple. We'll see how we can handle the United States and Canada and Mexico for, you know, a couple of years. And then if we're like, hey, let's figure out the Japan thing and the Australia thing, then we'll do that. But, you know, I don't think we as a group, the alliance, it's so loosey-goosey that we're just like, let's just figure it out.
Well, yeah, it's still in its infancy. We met through it the day after Nationals, and it was just kind of like, hey, you guys all want to work together, right? Okay, cool. Now we're a little hungover, so let's meet again later.
Yeah, no, but I mean that's a really good point. Is like we're starting to get to a level where everyone's throwing their own competition. I mean, what Justin Cade is having his
in January,
and New Jersey's having it on the same day. I know the Richmond, Virginia people are throwing it on the same date as the Philly thing, and it's like the whole structure
is
going to be more
pretty much clear, same region.
More clear communication.
I think the Virginia one's earlier in the month. The Northern California one is the same.
Okay, so I can't remember. I know there are. We had the problem with Paul Roof in Charleston.
Right.
And we felt bad about it because we weren't like trying to upstage him or anything. It's like we've just been doing this for 5 years.
Right.
In this month, you know. People expect it in our town.
Right. And people are starting to expect it in Charleston as well. I mean, I went to the first
three,
one.
Right?
They've done three. I went to the first one and it was wild.
Yeah.
Well,
like GAFBO, the events we've put together, you know, when we worked with the Detroit Beard League on one and all this, and we specifically go out of our way to make sure there's not another event going on there.
Right. There was a lot of communication between Biggins here and GAFBO about when the Philly and the next Detroit one is. And then with the advent of the Alliance, we've sort of held off on the April competition. And I know March actually worked out better for you anyways, but there's a hole in the calendar now, which is fine because people need to recoup funds between traveling.
Yeah.
We're hoping that GAFBO can host the first Midwest regional as part of the alliance and have it be a
well, I think
event, and then we can get a big crowd coming there, and then we can always hold our own small one, you know, whenever we want.
Yeah, and I think that what's cool is, like, I mean, it's a bummer that there's all these little conflicts, but there should be, I mean, the Austin thing is super fun. I mean, it's like 1,200 people there, whatever. But they're like, there should be in some of these towns, you know, a small local contest.
Yeah, like Dickens that we do.
Yeah, a bunch of friends get together and do a little thing. And then, like, that gets people motivated and pumped to go travel. Like, oh, let's go see how they do it in Ohio and see whatever.
Well, we did.
This party tonight is going to be wild, by the way.
I'm stoked.
They know how to, they did a great job last year, and they've going balls to the wall this year.
So. Maybe I should stop drinking.
No, what did we say last night?
Save yourself
night?
For later, right?
So you
can't drink all day unless you start in the morning.
Yeah.
True. Well, we were talking about having, like, the local thing. Like, we held one in August in Lansing, Michigan. It was tiny. I mean, and that was our goal. We did have the Ohio guys come up, but it wasn't like Detroit where we had people flying
where
in
they
from California.
Attacked me.
Or, right.
Let's talk. Well, make sure that everyone knows that
we can
Ohio's
get on that.
Are hooligans.
We can get to that in a minute, but, like, we made sure we weren't stepping on any other events' toes, just because we want to go to that for one thing. Yeah. We want to go to other people's, but also it's just like, even if it's just going to be our local friends and, you know, that kind of thing, we
get the community invested into it as well, and then it can grow.
That's
the
real big thing. You got to have your community backing you up.
Yeah,
if we didn't have the network of friends that we do, and of different levels, like graphic designers, musicians, business owners.
T-shirt printers,
you know, just everything. I mean, everyone brings something to the table. Now, it really helps out very, very much.
Lansing, where GAFBO is based, is under 200,000 people. Austin's like about 800,000, I believe.
Yeah, but our community, like...
Right. No, I understand all that. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, Biggins, what's it like trying to get that community involvement in a town of 3 million and there's a lot of other stuff just around? And
Philly's tough because you got all sorts of people. Some despise what we're doing. Some people are loving it and super excited about it. We've been doing a lot of just local things, like we have the punk rock flea market twice a year right in Philly, and we just set up a table and we promote the hell out of ourselves, sell merch, sell stickers, sell posters, you know, whatever is going to get the word out. Like I said, we're going to be doing a calendar signing at this month in December at the punk rock flea market for our calendar. We've just been a lot of guerrilla style promoting, just stickers everywhere. We were planning on wheat pasting posters around Philadelphia.
All right.
hush. But
I don't know what you're talking about.
We've done wheat paste.
Yeah, just a lot of different things. A lot of small events, helping out at different bars, coming up to bars, and we're actually doing like a whisker social kind of thing the night before the New York competition on December 2nd.
Okay.
We're just gonna be like an old timey kind of feeling and just. It's actually for November. It's just the weekend after November.
Right.
But yeah, it's just like little things like that. Like friends that work at bars that are like, hey, come hang out or set up a table. You know, there's a beef and ale coming up that we're going to be taking part of. There's the Chowder and Stout Festival that someone just contacted me and Mike O'Connor about.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Me and Mike O'Connor are going to judge this Chowder Stout Festival / competition. It's like going to be a mini Philly competition thing. Yeah, it just kind of came up out of nowhere. So we're like, okay, sure. Good food and beer and judging a competition.
Let us know about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's next Saturday.
Oh,
that's gonna be a little tough.
Yeah.
Tough.
We're pulling double duty that night. It's the Chowder Festival goes until about 8, and then Mike Preet is doing a beef and ale thing, and that's like till like 10. So we're just kind of either divide and conquer or try and hit up both in the same night.
Gotcha.
Set up tables, sell merch, and just get the word out, raise some money for a good cause.
So you have a lot of members of your group that are willing to do one thing so the other members could go do another event.
We got four main guys that are like our founders. Yeah, we got
the all-stars, if you will.
Yeah, it's me and three other guys founded the club. Me and two guys founded the club. And then Gil, our friend Gil, who has no facial hair whatsoever, but he's really fucking good with PR.
Does he appreciate?
Oh yeah, no, he loves it. He loves working for it. He loves doing it. He's trying. He's got some little wispy hairs coming out here.
Our last two members of the month are sitting over here on the couch in the peanut gallery. They have no facial hair. These ladies have done a ton of work for us, and it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Well, that's also something really cool though, is that it's not just dudes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a dude club. You know, I'm digging the Whiskerinas movement, and we have a lot of girls in our club that help us out and really have a lot of fun with it. And now there is a vehicle for them to show their creativity mm-hmm. and their abilities, which I would like to see it. Because, like, Austin always had a women's category.
Yeah.
We started it off as a joke. I mean, it was a full-on fucking joke. We were like, and in the contest still, if any girl shows up with real facial hair, she automatically wins first place. Oh, absolutely. Which has only happened once. And it was kind of dubious because it was just a whisker coming out of the chin. And she was dating the DJ at the time. It was very dubious. But
she grew it out for it.
But she did grow it out for the contest.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I don't know where I was going with that tangent, but...
Just digging on the Whiskerinas.
Yeah, you know, digging on the Whiskerinas. Because, you were saying about the peanut gallery and, like, people... It doesn't matter if people can or not grow facial hair. And
that's or choose not
it.
To.
Or choose not to. And we say that in our bylaws. It's like, we don't care. I mean, if you have fun with us, that's all that matters.
Our joke is, you know, there are two kinds of people without beards, women and children. I mean, and obviously that's, you know, we have buddies who shave too. We have one guy who's come to damn near every meeting, and he cannot grow. Andy cannot grow facial hair.
No,
he covers the lower.
Shaving for like 2 months once, and he had like 8 hairs just kind of dangling off his upper lip.
Every group picture we have, he's covering the lower half of his face with his hand like this. Like, because he has a good sense of humor about it,
yeah.
You know. But it's about
You're right there, Brandon.
I'm okay. My legs are getting kind of cramped.
It's about like
I'll take your pants off.
It's about community.
Have you tried that? Good point.
These kind of things, they're about community, and it doesn't matter whether you're actually growing a beard or if you just want to like appreciate them.
Yeah.
So I know this is a sore spot for you, Malik.
What's that?
That's not a sore spot for him.
Oh,
it's
just a shave spot.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about the Donegal?
Yeah.
Or the Whaler, as a lot of people.
Well, first of all, I know it, in more of the contest, the only people conceptualize it as the Alaskan Whaler because of Alaska. That was the category they put in it.
But it's the Donegal.
But it is the Donegal. And
who's it named after?
It's named after Donegal, Ireland.
County.
Yeah, county in Ireland.
Oh, okay, great.
And then the thing is what a lot of people don't realize, too, there is actually... A beard, it's just a beard contest that is the true oldest beard contest in the world. It's in Shamrock, Texas.
Yeah.
And it's a Donegal. They start growing their beards.
It's only Donegals?
It's only Donegals. They start growing on the first of the year. And then St. Paddy's Day is when the actual contest goes down.
So
and
you must be clean shaven at the beginning of the year to do it?
Yes, you start at the year. And then so all the men in the town, you don't have to compete as a Donegal. But you have to have a beard that whole period of time if you're a man. If you don't, they'll arrest you by the chief fuzzer and put you in jail. Or you can buy a permit for a dollar that says that you have to be clean shaven because your wife doesn't like facial hair. Something like it's like basically ratting you out for being like a wimp, in essence.
That was actually,
there's a movie.
Growing
a beard.
Yeah, growing a beard.
Yeah, that was your buddy?
Well, it was this guy that we met that he lives in Austin.
Right.
Mike Wolf.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and he's just real awesome guy. He actually gave us a bunch of DVDs to like sell to help promote it and promote us and all that stuff.
When Gapo started, that was one of the first things that we looked up is we were like, all right, what are these competitions? We found that DVD. We had a big viewing party, you know, all our friends. It's an interesting DVD. It's a good story. It's just him going to a different town and meeting everyone.
I still haven't watched it because someone borrowed mine and then lent it to someone else.
We have 20 copies at the office that you can just grab.
But that's not mine.
Talk to Tim.
Mine was personalized.
No.
It had my little pony sticker.
Okay. I lent it to you.
All right, I'll get it back for you. I'm just going to go to the office, open up a new one, and hand it to you.
All right.
But no, the Donegal, are we going to talk about how there is a lack of Donegalness or partial hair?
Your feelings about being put into a category that I know that you don't necessarily like being put into like partial beard.
I don't mind partial beard. What I don't like about partial beard is that it's all partial beards.
Yeah.
It's sideburns. It's goatees. It's, you know, Donegals. It's freestyle.
Donegal. It's just singular.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. The only. Yes. Donegal. And it gets frustrating because, like, I know, so one of our teammates, Schrader, he does friendly mutton chops. It's not sideburns. It's friendly mutton chops. It's got the mustache and the connection. Yeah. And it drives him nuts that at Nationals, we're all in the same category. So someone who, like, toots, freestyles it, and does all the things because he just wants to do his natural, and he can't win. I mean, so it's like...
Well, on that note, they have two different partial beard categories here in Ohio.
There's freestyle and there's regular?
Yeah, but aren't they? I thought there was like a mutton chop category, or is it?
Well,
just...
right, but like the partial beard, there's both natural and styled.
Okay,
unlike at nationals, where you can either.
So you wouldn't be going up against a guy who styled out his mutton chops.
No,
you know, 3 feet,
but what happens a lot. I mean, even Austin, like partial beard. That's what I. No, there is no partial beard. I got to go to freestyle. There's not even a partial beard.
You need to fix this in your own club.
Best groomed if you
I guess I could do best groomed.
Aren't you a member of the Austin Facial Hair Club? Don't you have some say in what categories?
I helped design those categories with Misprint many moons ago, and it's really Misprint's baby these days.
Gotcha.
So we're actually thinking about taking the women's category out of the actual main category and then giving them their whole day, the day before. Kind of like
with the whiskerinas.
With the whiskerinas, like what we did with nationals and stuff. And it's because... the new thing that we've brought in that's very popular is the beard sprint.
Okay. Tell us about it.
That's, we do this celebration of jorts. Are you familiar with what jorts are?
Jorts?
Yeah, I know.
Very short jean shorts.
Jean shorts. It's huge in Austin. It's like fixed.
Kyle wears
trailers.
His at every meeting, all you know.
Yeah, I got jorts with the shit.
Kyle's a never dude.
But the Jortacular is this big celebration of jorts, and it's really just we get drunk in 110-degree weather and take shots off an ice luge or ride a centaur.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what a centaur is.
It's like a cinnamon roll and a centaur mixed together.
But so we allow people to show up clean shaven, and then from that date to the contest, whoever grows the biggest beard within 6 months.
Okay, so it's a sprint competition.
It's totally total sprint, beard sprint.
That's how Gaffo started as well, is a sprint competition from November 1st till about St. Patrick's Day. So if you wanted to do something for Halloween, you were golden to do it with your beard, and then you shaved.
Nice. So yeah, it would be nice to see a Donegal. I would like a Donegal category, but I mean, sadly I got to go to Alaska to get respected.
How many people really
you can go to Donegal?
You know?
There's quite a few. I mean, shit, when we were in Lancaster, fucking everyone around fucking Donegal. And then Jack made that fucking comment on stage about the Donegal's not a beard.
I didn't hear that because I couldn't hear anything.
How is that not a beard?
Oh, well, he was trying to refer to a joke that started in Austin.
Yeah, I mean, we give Melita shit all of the time.
Of course.
He's such a good sport about it. You know, Donegal's not a beard and all this. And so he would take stuff from us. Like, we did this big, for the TV show, big press thing in New York for like a couple days. And by the end of it, he was saying the shit that we'd been saying the whole time. And like, I don't think he's doing this on purpose. He just keeps hearing, Donegal's not a beard, Donegal's not a beard. And then he says it.
It's internalized.
And it's internalized. But the thing was, it was that moment. I don't know if all of y'all are very familiar with Jeremiah Johnson. Great movie with Robert Redford.
No, I know of it. I haven't seen it.
It's a classic film, and basically, in the end of the movie, he's just getting attacked by Native Americans all the fucking time, and he's just killing hundreds of thousands of Native Americans. And you find out in this that the reason they keep attacking him is that a tribe's strength is reflected by the strength of its enemies. Like, the more enemies you have, the stronger you truly are. So when everyone was at Misprint chanting at me, Donegal is not a beard, I realized at that point... the Donegal is the most powerful beard in the world. If it can get 1,200 people chanting at me, I mean, I'm like standing there, and there's 1,200 people in a circle yelling at me, Donegal's not a beard! Donegal's not a beard! And I'm like, whoa.
It's like you're quickening or whatever.
Yeah,
exactly. Highlander. There can be only one!
So I go, like, Donegal is not a beard. Yeah, it's a fucking Donegal, you know?
All right.
Shit.
So we've covered the Donegal in competitions. We are running out of time here, so we need to wrap up on a couple of items. Let's say, right now we are in Ohio for the Beards of Science Beard Mustache Competition. January we got Portland on the 21st, it's gonna be a
wild. That's gonna rival. I mean, almost anything else out there. I think Portland's gonna be
should be nuts.
It's taking a close second.
Yeah,
it's second beardest town in America.
Yeah,
it's gonna be insane.
And then February we got the sixth annual
Misprint Beard and Mustache.
February 25th is the actual contest, but we're doing a whole weekend. Like, we do Friday night party,
probably Whiskerina's event.
Yeah, parade, bar crawl, something like that.
Yeah.
Whiskerina's event at the end of that.
Go shoot guns on Saturday with, you know, Austin Facial Hair Club.
Yeah, and then...
I think we're doing a brisket Franklin Barbecue Sunday.
Brunch. Sunday we're going to do a brunch with, like this barbecue spot that was rated number one in Gourmet Magazine. And they're closed on Sundays, but they're going to do some for us on Sundays.
Nice. Good
one to work with.
And this is, like, this is... This meat is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's it. It is it. It's yeah. pretty good. I mean, we had great barbecue last year when we went out to...
Crisis, yeah. This is a hard candle.
This is...
Yeah.
This is... above and beyond that. So.
No. All right.
It'll be the best. And then, of course...
A month... Yeah, just over a month later, Brandon's going to be scrambling to match you guys with the
me
Philly.
And, me and Justin Cave have a little East Coast, West Coast. Instead of a rap battle, it's a beard battle. So, you know.
It's all right.
There's also, in that month, March, early March, is Mr. Furface
in Alaska.
In Alaska, yeah.
Which,
Anchorage.
I will say this. If no one... I went there last year.
Right.
Where I won Alaskan Whaler, but... If you've never been to Alaska,
that's gorgeous.
It's not only gorgeous, but go there during that time because it is like this 2 week insanity. It's like they've gone nuts and they just like they're tired of the snow and they don't care there's still snow around and they're just going crazy. The Iditarod's going on there.
And they haven't sobered up yet because it hasn't warmed up enough yet.
And then there's the there's like one of the largest fur auctions in the world because they take all the poaching that's happened in Alaska. And grab all those furs and they sell them. So people are like wearing fur bikinis and fur sailor outfits and, you know, fur boots. I don't know where I'm going with this, but, you know, just something with weird fur connotations.
All right. So, in one sentence, give a reason to come to the Texas competition. Just sum it up. Make people travel there. Nothing. All right. So don't go there.
No. Ladies and gentlemen. There's a couple things we're thinking. You know, I mean...
What is it, you know, that sets it apart?
We'll replace your liver.
Okay, your liver.
We'll replace your liver.
What about Philly? Give people a reason to go to Philly. I mean, other than awesomeness of both competitions, of course. I mean...
Philly sucks.
What?
Pat and Gina's Philly Steak Challenge. Yes.
Come get dirty in that John. That's...
Come get what?
Dirty in that John.
It's a Philly. It's a Philly John. Word. John. It could be anything. It's a noun.
That's...
Be like, look at that John over there. Yo, this John was just over at the John. It's just it's basically replacing nouns with a word.
It's like Smurf.
I've heard Steve Hunt say that.
Just
word.
So you know, I actually replace the word John with me a lot. So like, when it gets cold, I wear my long me's.
Yeah.
My wife over here calls them her long you's.
Oh.
So I got to go hit the me.
I got you.
It gets really bad though, you know, when I'm like. All right, well, that prostitute just gave me some herpes, you know? Instead of the John, let's take that out. Let's edit that out, please.
Yeah, just keep that in at the very beginning.
But that prostitute just
gave
me some herpes.
Honey, we have to have a conversation.
Okay, so on the same note, why did you guys come to Ohio?
Yeah.
If you had to put it, like, just quick, like, what made you want to come to Ohio?
I haven't been to a beard competition since Norway, so.
You're going through a withdrawal.
Yeah, I wanted to hang out. I want to come out and see you guys and Alliance meeting tomorrow.
So yep.
Brian can't be here. And I got to go fly out to California for a work plan on Sunday. So I was like, oh, it's easy to just come here for a weekend. So.
Okay.
Hey, I love coming to these things. And like I said, you know, I've never been to Columbus. Look how weird their capital is.
Yeah.
Man, that thing's just weird looking.
Right.
I mean, who has a capital like that?
Yeah.
So you guys came to Ohio for the experience and for the friendship. We came for revenge.
We're going to take out Thomas tonight. Knee
Tiny
for knee.
Style.
Yeah, we hired Jeff Galooly, and, you know, that's the guy who attacked Nance Kerrigan.
Okay.
So.
When someone injures John in such a grievous fashion, we take it very seriously.
Yeah.
So. Cool. Well,
never cross them. Yeah.
Duck your head when you get put in a cop car.
Yeah.
Just remember, they don't touch your head anymore and to warn you that you're getting into the
Yeah, all right.
You gotta do that yourself these days.
Well, thank you, Alex and Brandon and Miletus, for coming on to Gaffbo Radio. I'm Admiral Buckler.
I'm Colonel Walker.
Master of Arms, Scott Mustin.
There we go.
Sweet.
Awesome.
I need beer.